The series that we're looking at is The New Year, The New You, and this is the third part of it. And I just want to recap a little bit about what we've looked at the first couple weeks before we jump into the new. I really felt the Lord had touched my heart about 2016 is going to be the year of the Spirit. You know, we need to really see the Holy Spirit start to move in our lives, and to do that, you know, we need to be seeking and we need to be expecting. You know, if you don't expect anything, you usually don't get anything. So we need to be expecting. And we looked at first week about how God is the God of do-overs. All of us make mistakes. All of us have issues in our life going on. And, you know, sometimes we stumble, but we should never stay down. We need to keep getting back up. And God is the God of the do-over. Also looked at the idea of the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives in the area of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Regeneration is talking about the new birth, and that's what happens, you know, when we get saved or we're born again. And then after that, you know, God accepts us as we are, but like anybody, He doesn't expect us to stay that way. Amen? And He wants us to grow, and that's what the renewing of the Holy Spirit is talking about. Also, last week we looked at, we all have three different areas of our life that we have to deal with. Our past, our present, and our future. All three of these areas that you and I have to look at and be able to deal with, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. And as we look at those, we need to make sure that we do not let our past affect our present. Because our past is behind us, and we looked at the idea what Paul talked about, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. So we don't let our past affect our present. And with that, you and I have to understand, and we all will probably admit it, is that we all have limiting beliefs in our life. A limiting belief. And, you know, that's just another coined phrase for what a stronghold is in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 10. But a limiting belief is something, it's a pattern of thoughts that get established in our life over a process of time. And what those limiting beliefs do is that they hold us back from really tapping into God's best for our life. And we have to be aware that we all have them. Nobody is exempt from that problem. But the good news is that the Bible is given to us so that we can start to change and renew our mind by the Word of God. Now, as well as the past can affect us, then we also need to, we have an opportunity. Each of us have an opportunity, you know, each and every day, is that our present has the ability to change our future. And I think we have to admit that. If you don't like your present, change what you're doing now, and that will have an effect on where we're going to be later on. Because a lot of times in life, you know, we wonder why things are cyclical in our life, and they keep repeating themselves. And the fact of the matter is, it's usually because we have not changed our method of behavior. We have not maybe implemented new things into our life. You know, before I got saved, I went and did certain things. But then after I got saved, you know, then I started to do different things. And I noticed that these different things that I was doing was starting to have an effect on my life and my outcome. You know, we all have income and outcome, right? You know, how many know sometimes if your income's limited, your outcome is definitely limited, right? So we need to make sure that we put the income in, what we put in, and then we're going to be able to receive the good. Now, as we conclude our series today, I want to go along the idea of a little different wave to some degree. I want us to consider the option that you and I have about being able to increase our capacity. Increasing our capacity. Because I think that's something that, you know, we sometimes limit ourselves because of depleted capacity. Now, back when I was a kid, my grandmother would tell stories. She was a school teacher, and she's passed away now. But when she started teaching, she started to teach in a one-room schoolhouse. And for some, that's kind of hard to imagine, you know, that you had all those different grades all in one room. But that's what they had to do, and they would all just, it was kind of local. And I really think my dad went to a one-room schoolhouse when he started, because I know it was right down the road and then back in the timber a little ways, because we used to go exploring down there. There was these dilapidated, I call them ruins, you know, but there's an old shack fell apart, you know. But that, I think that's where the one-room schoolhouse was out in the neighborhood out there. But, you know, as things change, the one-room schoolhouse couldn't handle it when more people came around, because they needed something with more capacity. And a lot of times in life, we get to the place where we limit ourselves, because sometimes, you know, we have this mentality that, you know, I like to look at it, I like to drink tea, but I don't drink a teacup. I have a 32-ounce mug. When I drink tea, I drink tea. You know what I mean? I would not waste my time on an 8-ounce cup. I do sometimes. I go visit somebody and they offer me a cup of tea. Sure, it's a couple swigs and that thing's gone. You know. And a lot of Christians, they have this little cup they're running around in life with. And they say, oh, my cup runneth over. Get a bigger cup. You know what I mean? Get a bigger cup. We need to increase our capacity, because I think we as believers need to think bigger. Think bigger. The scripture I want to look at today is found in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. It says, "But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and then both are preserved." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your anointing to be here today. Lord, to be able to break every yoke of bondage, everything that tries to hold us back from your best. Lord, I thank you that we love the concept of a new year, a new you. Lord, we get the ability to be able to reinvent ourselves and to help to be able to flow and to function in all the gifts and callings that you put on our life. Lord, help us not to just think small, but to think big. And Lord, I thank you for the anointing to be here that breaks that yoke. And Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we give you praise and glory for all that you're doing in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I don't know, as you get older, you kind of understand some things. And in one bad way, we all expand, right? Sometimes we have expansion issues, but it's not the good kind. It's the bad kind. And this passage is talking about, now I've never really done a lot of sewing. I know some of you are pretty good seamstresses, or whatever a man seamstress is, a seamster, I don't know what that is. But anyway, this concept here is, you know, a lot of people don't have a lot of money, and they used to have to patch things. And back then they didn't, you know, have like stores like we have to go buy, you know, crazy clothes that cost, you know, $170 for a pair of jeans. You know, or something like that. And that's insane, but that's just the way it rolled sometimes. So what they would do, they would have to patch their clothes. Now, if you take an old pair of pants and you put a new piece of cloth on there, the first time you wash it, the new cloth starts to shrink. And when it does that, it would make a bigger rip. And Jesus was trying to get a revelation through to the people about this. Because any good person that knows how to sew would never try and achieve such a thing, because they know what the damage it would be. Now, when I was a kid, we went to buy jeans. And I don't know what they did to them, but, you know, when you tried on a pair of jeans, when you first walked in them, your legs, you'd have to walk like this. You know what I mean? I don't know if they put starch in them or what they did, but they were very stiff. You know, they were probably very thicker than the jeans that we have now. But, you know, you just walk around until finally, you know, you wear them for a few days, and finally you could kind of, you know, bend a little bit, and, you know, they'd start to work out some of that toughness. And I assume it was starch. I don't know what it is. Now, today, a lot of kids buy the jeans with holes in them, don't they? Isn't that amazing? That just surprises me, and that's the big thing. It's been around for a while, but especially a lot of young Christian musicians. We was at a when we was out of town, we went and visited a church up in Wisconsin, and all the musicians had big rips in their jeans, and they were all hip looking and really kind of cool and all that. But you know, I don't know. I couldn't do that. You know, me, when I get a hold of my jeans, I earned it. You know what I mean? That's because I wore them and I worked, and they got worn out and they finally tore. I would never go spend money on that. Now, how we look at shrinking today is sometimes, do you have clothes you can't put in a dryer? I think we all do. You know, maybe if you lose enough weight, you can. But there's some things, you put it in a dryer, you know, we blame the dryer for a lot of our problems. You know, I blame the donuts. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes it's the donuts that's really making us expand, and that's the expansion issue. Now we're going to look at the idea of really what this is talking about, is the idea Jesus was talking to a bunch of Jewish people, and the Jewish people had put all their faith into the law. Now, the law was important to them, and you had to keep the law. If you didn't keep the law, you're in trouble. Matter of fact, if you broke certain things in the law, you can get stoned to death. So the law was very important to this culture. But Jesus was trying to get something new to them, that he was going to do something new. And in that newness, you couldn't really bring the old along. And that's what we need to understand in our life, is the fact that Jesus is sometimes wanting to do new things in our life. But what's holding us back is we keep trying to drag that old stuff with us into the new. And that doesn't really work, because it just can't function that way. So I believe there comes a time in our life where we need to let go. Just let go. Let go and let God. Because the problem you and I have, maybe you're not like me, but sometimes we get that hoarder mentality. You know, maybe something's kind of broke but ain't really totally broke, so you keep it. I might need this sometime. You know, you never know when this might come in handy. You know, I find stuff all the time out of my garage or at different places where I'd saved it because I thought it was worth something. But when I find it now, man, that was stupid. Throw it. I don't need that no more. Why did I hold on to that? Why did I think that I was going to, you know, ever use that again? Because we have that hoarder or collector mentality. You know, we don't want to let go because, you know, we might think that we need it. And it's also hard to sometimes get rid of things that we're comfortable with. And I have that problem when it comes to vehicles. You know, when I get a vehicle and it's faithful to me, I'm faithful to it. You know, I drive that thing until it won't drive anymore. You know, it's just amazing to me when I got rid of my last truck, and just when I started to clean it out, I could see down through the truck. It had rusted out so bad. But the old girl had been faithful to me. I didn't want to get rid of it. So finally it come to the time it wouldn't move anymore. And see, that same thing is that, you know, we don't want to get rid of things that we're comfortable with. But see, sometimes the things that make us comfortable aren't really going to advance us or cause us to expand into the new things that God wants for us to do. So we need to let go of those old and keep going on. Now, I prefer new stuff for the most part. Now, some things are okay. I prefer a newer vehicle than an older vehicle. Like I said, my other one, it finally broke. The reason why I don't like antique cars is because I don't like working on cars. I don't like old stuff. Now, some people love old stuff. They go, you know, antique, and they go out and find all these things. But, you know, that's okay if it's a hobby. But you don't want to let that hobby influence our faith, because I believe that for the most part, we fall victim to the idea that we end up settling. We settle for the little that we have, when all the while God has something out here that's more for us. Something bigger, something better, some area that he's wanting to move us into. We need to reach out and we need to press on to do it. And that's where I get to the idea that we need to think new. Now, this is talking about the new wine of God's Spirit. Now, we know that was talking about the law, in the sense of God, when Jesus came, he was bringing a new revelation to them, that he was the fulfillment of the law and all these things. And also we see the new wine is talking about the idea of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit might be a new concept for some, you know, and how he functions and how he operates in our life and the things that he wants to do. And some people get a little nervous around the Holy Spirit or scared. But, you know, I want to encourage you that, you know, we need to get to know him, you know, in a better way. And as we're thinking new, Jesus used the idea of when they would make wine and they would put it in wineskins. Now, I don't know about you. You know, I quit drinking, but this would have been enough to make me quit. You know, they used to put the grape juice into animal skins. Yuck. I don't know. I suppose you get used to it. Maybe it had some flavor. I don't know how they would tan all that. But they didn't have a lot of the stuff that you and I have. You know, bottles and things like that. They probably, you know, they had a little bit of pottery and things. But that just amazes me. But what would happen is that when you would put grape juice into a skin, once it was in there for a while, due to the natural sugars that's in the outer covering of the grape and all these things, it would start to expand. And when it would expand, the skin would have to expand with it or it would burst. It couldn't handle it. And see, that's what Jesus was trying to get through to the people, and he wants to get us to understand, is that when we come into the newness, the old life can't handle the new. It's not there. There's nothing there. We need to be able to flow, and we need to start all over, and we need to get into the freshness of God and not try to drag our old life into the new life that Jesus Christ came to give us. Because that fermentation process puts off gas. And that gas is what makes things expand, and then it will break it, and that's what this was talking about. Now, the old skins were good for some things. You just didn't throw them away. I mean, I'm sure they were hard to make. They sewed on them or whatever they did to make them work. They could be used to carry water. So they kept them. But you just had to make sure that they were used for the proper thing. And there's a lot of Christians that's carrying around the water of the Word of God, but they have no capacity or desire for God's Spirit. You know, and the Word's good. Don't get me wrong. I love the Word of God because the Word of God keeps us strong. It keeps us stable. It's the foundation of what you and I need to flow with. But we also need to understand the concept of the Holy Spirit and how He's alive and He's working in each of our lives. And as we grab a hold of Him, you know, He can teach us and He can get us to the place that we need to be, because, you know, we can feel all alone down here. Now, religion could not hold the newness of what Jesus was bringing, and that's what he was trying to get through to the listeners of that day. And that's the application for that. Because to me, the Holy Spirit is what turns religion into relationship. Now, that's an important thought. That's what sets Christianity apart from all the religions around the world. All these other religions have rules and regulations. They have maybe certain hoops you got to hop through and do these things. But there's no life in the sense of the Holy Spirit. Because Christianity is where the Holy Spirit resides. And as we start to flow with God and we start to acknowledge the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that He's the ever-present one, the one with us every step of the way, then we start to grow and we start to understand the concepts that God really, really has for our life. Now, that kind of comes to the idea that we need to, you know, maybe we need to think outside the box a little bit. You know, maybe our approach to God has had limiting beliefs, because we've had to settle for what we have known because we don't know the unknown yet. You can't see it. You can't understand things you don't know, right? But see, that's where we start to yield and we start to lean on the Spirit of God as He brings us. And this whole thing started, the program started, you know, at the new birth. You know, you must be born again, Jesus says. And that's why we need that regeneration. Because I believe you have to let God make it before God can fill it. You know, Jesus warns in Scripture that when they would cast out a demon, make sure that you fill it back with God or the demons will come back. You know, so we need to make sure that we're recreated in Christ, but then we need to have the Holy Spirit come in and flood our soul and flood our life with the life of God so that we can start to function and understand, you know, just what it is. Now, that fermentation is a natural process, and that process is where carbohydrates are converted into alcohol. You know, before I, seen the light, I used to drink some things that had a little kick. You know what I mean? Some of them had more kick than others. You know, and I just, that's just the area of life that I was into. I didn't know any different. And so I loved kick. But I tell you, when I came to Jesus Christ, then I started to get a revelation of what it actually means is that growth in Christ is not a natural process, but it's a supernatural process where the Holy Spirit transforms us into a supercharged instrument of God for His glory. Somebody with a little kick. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit's come to do. He has come to live inside of us to give us a little kick in our life where we can start to flow and we can start to function, we can start to operate in God's power. He has not left us here all alone where we have to try to grope our way through society and hopefully make it till we get to heaven and stuff like that. But you know, God has come and He's given us His Spirit, and with that Spirit comes that Holy Ghost power. And that's the new wine of God's Spirit. And as we start to understand, you know, Jesus said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Why do we have to continue to be filled? Because we leak. Right? We leak. We need to continually keep seeking God and going after Him and the things of the Spirit. You know, I remember, you know, being under the influence and how that affected me. It changed me. You know, I was not myself when I was under the influence. Well, we need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've found in my life that when I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I also do things that I would not normally do in the natural. Because it's supernatural. I start to flow with God and His Spirit. And I'm not talking about spooky stuff. A lot of people get spooked out when you talk about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. And you, as you start to flow and you start to hear His voice and you start to follow His leading, how He leads us and guides us, and we start to get to know Him when we give Him first place in our life, you know, we honor Him. You know, He's just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. You know, but He gets a bad rap because He's a Spirit. You know what I mean? There's nothing tangible there, people feel. But we can feel the Holy Spirit. You know, during worship or different times during prayer or any time during the day, you might get that unction or that feeling of God's Spirit starting to minister to us or starting to deal with us on certain issues in our life. That's called just letting God. Now, this is a dangerous prayer. I don't encourage you to pray this unless you really want to do it. But praying, Holy Spirit, I want you to take control of my life. I want to understand who you are and how you function and how you operate on this earth. Because He is on this earth today. Jesus Christ left. You know, some people, man, that's a bummer. He left. Can't believe it. Here started this great movement, casting out demons. The devils feared when He walked. Rose dead people up. Preached to thousands. Then He says, I got to go. I'd be devastated. Here you put all your eggs in this one basket. You know what I mean? Quit your job. Started to follow this guy. All of a sudden, He says, I got to go. Oh. But He says, but. There's always a but. I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give you somebody just like me. But He's going to live inside of you now. He's going to be with you all the time. If Jesus would have chosen to stay in that earth body, see, He took on a body. He came down and was, you know, come as a man, you know, and he was limited by that body. He could only be in one place at one time at that time when he chose to do that. Just for that 33 years. Before that, he was the ever-present one, and after that, same thing. But for that limited time, when he chose to empty himself of his divine authority and he come down as a man, Jesus could be in one place at one time. Oh, he made an impact when he was in that one place. I ain't gonna lie to you. But it was to our benefit as a body around the whole world. Just don't think about us. Think about the whole world. That the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding every Christian on the planet today. At the same time, he has that ability. So it was a benefit that he left. So to me, it's only natural and wise to get to know who this Spirit is. How is it that he functions and operates? What is it that he does? You know, the Bible talks about how you can grieve the Holy Spirit. There's certain things that we can do to maybe offend the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying he's going to leave us. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that he pulls back in our life a little bit. How I was taught, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force you to do anything unless you are willing to do it. We have to give him permission. Now, there's times that the Spirit of God can come on people. We see in the Old Testament how Saul prophesied and different things. But primarily, the Bible says that, you know, the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You know, we can quench the Holy Spirit anytime we want. That's stupid, but we can do it. We've done it, haven't we? You know, one way to hinder the Holy Spirit is strife. Strife in the family. Isn't it? You know, me and my wife, we don't walk in marital bliss all the time. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, sometimes we have disagreements. And I've noticed if we're not smart and we allow those disagreements to get out of hand, you know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit until we, you know, repent. And we start to ask God to come back in and let the blood just deal with that. And then we get that fresh start. We get that do-over I was talking about. So we need to get beyond the idea of settling for the little dose of the Holy Ghost that we have right now. Now, I praise God for the Holy Ghost. You know, but I need a bigger dose of the Holy Ghost. You know, I need a bigger shot. Because I want God to start to really take control of my life. And as we do that, we just need to think bigger. You know, I don't want to tell us just to think big. Because sometimes when we think big, you know, sometimes we can just think, you know, what's big? You know, to us to think big, that, you know, I can say, oh, I want a 10,000 person church here in Allaby, Iowa. Duh, that wouldn't, I don't know. That'd be hard. You know, when our whole county don't even have that many people. You know what I mean? So, you know, maybe thinking big is too much. Maybe I just need to think bigger. Think, where am I now? And what's the next big step I could take in my life? You know what I mean? Don't think about getting to the end of the journey. But what's the next big step I could take? Something that would stretch me a little bit. Because, see, one thing that happens is the Holy Spirit, just like the new wine in that wineskin, it starts to expand. This is a disclaimer, I'm just going to tell you. Once you let the Holy Spirit start to take control of your life, he's going to expand you. He's going to grow you up. He's going to maybe stretch you in certain ways, because we've all, you know, understand the idea. I always say that God accepts us as we are, but he doesn't want us to stay that way. You know, I'm so thankful for all three of my kids, for the most part. And, you know, when they were babies, they were cute. But boy, they demanded a lot of time, because they couldn't take care of themselves. We had to do everything for them. But as they started to grow, I had a lot of fun with them when they started to walk and talk. And they started to grow and do different things. And then we could start to give them chores and that they would never do unless we hounded them. But still, it was handy. They'd do them sometimes. You know, and, you know, God is looking for a body. He's looking for a people that wants to allow him to expand them. You know, when I was a little boy growing up on a small or on a farm outside of Lavella there, you know, I never had a clue what God was going to have me do. Number one, I didn't really know God. I prayed to him every night. You know, I just, that old now I lay me down to sleep thing, you ever done that one? There wasn't one day I never prayed that prayer. Don't know why that was ingrained in me, but I did. That was just how I flowed, you know. And, you know, as I started to do things and, you know, how God, you know, delivered me from death countless times. Where end over in car wrecks or some stupid thing I had done. And I always knew that God had a plan for my life. I always knew that. And I always knew that I will not die before I'm done. I've always had that faith in me. Because I've known where God has brought me from. And I've tasted what God has brought me into. And I go there sometimes, but sometimes I come back. You know, I need to learn to want to stay there. And as I've started to experience, you know, the presence of God and the realness of what God does in our life. And, you know, so finally I decided that I wanted Jesus more than I wanted anything else. Because that's what it took. Jesus is looking for that sort of commitment in our life. And that's what he was telling the Jews here. You got to let go of that old. I'll be honest, when I was in the old, I mean, yeah, it wasn't fulfilling because I always knew there was more. I always wanted more, 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 more. But I had a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie to you in some ways. I lived with a lot of regret with the fun, though. But finally, I got to the place where I decided I wanted more of God. And he started the process of changing my life. First, the initial of being born again. And that new life of Christ where I could look at the old and it was behind me. Then I said, after I experienced Jesus, I figured I don't want that anymore. Why did I hold on to that? Because no matter how good it was never enough for me. Maybe I was just too greedy, I don't know. But I wanted more. And then when I got more of God, then I found out, wow, this is it. This is the satisfaction I've been looking for. You know, and that would have been enough just getting saved. But then God says, I got more. I got more for you. It's not just about getting saved. It's about me filling you with my Spirit, my presence. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The presence of God lives inside of us. And he's with us every step of the way. No matter where we go, what we do, God is with us. And we are his ambassadors here on earth. So how do we apply this? As I mentioned, ask the Holy Spirit to become more real in your life. Just pray that prayer. Get alone with God. Let it be an expectation. Live with expectation this year. Because know that God has more for you and he wants you to have it. He's a good God. You know, when I got saved, you know, a lot of people told me how bad God was. You know, as a kid growing up. You know, parents mean well. And I don't know if my parents really ever did this because, you know, but I have heard it said, God's going to get you for that. You know what I mean? So here we instill this fear in people that God is mean and that he's going to get you whenever you mess up. Then we tell people God loves them. Say, what? It don't work that way, does it? We need to instill the truth that God has more. And lastly, we need to think bigger. Wherever we're at now, God has more. Wherever you are in your race right now, God has more. We all are at different places in our race. Some are maybe just starting the race. Some are in the middle of the race. Some can see the finish line. But wherever we are, we need to think bigger because God's Spirit can expand us to do more. Just when you thought you couldn't do any more, God's grace shows up. That's amazing. God's grace. He's called the Spirit of grace. You say you can't handle it, give it to God and He'll give you the grace to handle it. Just like the Apostle Paul. He is preaching the gospel so much that they attacked him and the devil come after him and God just told him, my grace is sufficient. You can handle it because I can handle it for you. Let's pray.